and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Lot of soul.
Hello once again, and welcome back to Noise in the Margins, the... Man, I sound so chipper when I sound like that, don't I? Welcome to Noise in the Margins, where... Whatever. No, really, welcome back to Noise in the Margins, the podcast for Fat Tracks, Books, and Records here in North Austin, Northern Austin. Potentially the Round Rock area. Not real sure yet. And I'm not sure because I haven't found the place yet. And I know that last week, or no, actually it's been 2 weeks. This is turning into like a bi-weekly thing. But 2 weeks ago, I mentioned that the next episodes are going to be very special episodes because I've got special episodes planned for blah, blah, blah. And that is true. I still have that planned. It's still going forward. So I start doing the research for the special episodes. And what happened was I... was working on it, and I was also still kind of in the background working on the business plan, and I suddenly realized that I was at the end of setting up the business plan. Like, I was done. I just needed a handful of letters from the community for support, and I got those, so I completely focused on that, and I got it finished up. So what does this mean? Well, it's done. Well, it's kind of done. It's more complicated than that. So I finished it, and I contacted the credit union that I have the business account with for the SBA loan. And they work with a bigger company to handle the small business loan and the merchant stuff. And I knew that they're actually, the company they work for is New Tech or something like that. It's really, it's a bigger company. They're all over the country. And they're... it's one of those countries that if you know about them, you know about them. And if you don't, you have no idea what I'm talking about. I had the meeting with them actually. So, okay. So I contacted the bank, said, hey, I'm ready to talk about my business loan. And they're like, okay, well, blah, 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 blah. And, oh, we assigned a loan officer for you at the company that we actually subbed this out to. They didn't say sub it out, but that's really what it is. So I talked to that guy day before yesterday. Right. That's how stressed out I've been. I'm so stressed out, I do not remember if it was yesterday or the day before. I think it was yesterday. Yesterday afternoon. So ended up getting, it took about a week to get the meeting set up, but I had the meeting, got the meeting set up, met with them yesterday afternoon, online. Because they're all over the country, they all work remote. So yeah, met with them online in a Microsoft Teams meeting and did the pre-evaluation stuff. And the next step in order to officially fill out all the paperwork is to find the location. So here's something I didn't know and something that you need to know. Let's back it up. So I mentioned that I got stuff that I've got to do to the business plan. So there are two things. The first one is I gave them the amount, and yeah, the loan officer actually said, well, that's all good and well, but we're going to, I asked for $225, and they said, no, we're gonna put this in as $250. It's easier on us. Take $250. And I go, okay, sure. I mean, yeah, it couldn't hurt. So I'll be changing the business plan because I've got all the figures based off of $225 and not $250, and now I've got another $25,000 thrown in there. So that's number one. Number two, and this is what I was about to say just a moment ago. If you are ever going forward and doing an SBA loan and you are opening a new store or opening a new business and you have a physical location, you have to already have that location picked out. And I didn't know that. I thought you could say, I have a couple of places picked out, once we go through this, I'll go through the thing of nope. You have to have a place picked out, have a letter of intent from the real estate agent or whoever saying that you are being serious about looking at this place. This is the rent. This is the, you know, whatever, the add-ons that are normal. And then you also need to get a quote from a general contractor, because more, they call it leaseholding improvements, something like that. I mean, it makes sense. You're the leaseholder and you need improvements, leaseholding improvements. The thing is that almost no commercial space is already set up for what you want it for, right? That's why when new stores opening up in a place, they have it like closed off for a couple weeks while people are going in and out and working on it. It's because no place is ever actually already set up. And the type of improvements they're talking about are the type of improvements that you can't do yourself. You've got to get them, like, make sure that you can get a permit to actually open up. So, of course, the flip side of that is that if, for some reason, you're able to open up a place that there are no big improvements that need to be done, it's just putting up shelving or whatever, they don't count that. That can go into operating expenses. So, like I was saying, I have to find a place, I have to rework my numbers, I have to actually break out if there are leaseholding improvements that need to be done, that has to be put into the business plan. So I've actually got to find a place now, because like I said, I had two or three places picked out, they're in the business plan. And no, I've got to have those numbers up front. So over this next week, I'm going to be going out, and I was planning on doing it Saturday or tomorrow or Saturday. Tomorrow, though, it looks like there's supposed to be like serious thunders. There's supposed to be serious thunderstorms tonight. Like here in a little bit, I'm going to go out and put the hail cover over my truck. There's supposed to be serious, like, thunderstorms, rain, shelter-in-place stuff going on tomorrow afternoon. And if it holds, then I guess I'm not going anywhere. So, yeah. So it'll get pushed off onto Saturday. So Saturday, I've got a million things to do. Go to Round Rock, see if that place is still open. If it's not, see if there's a comparable place in Round Rock on Main Street still open. If that doesn't work, then I need to go over to Cedar Park, I guess. See, the thing is that this is something I was getting back to before when I discussed this with other people. And that is, and I mentioned it here on Noise in the Margins. The deal is that you can't, or rather you don't want, look, you do not want to open up a bookstore in the wrong shopping area, because, you know, going back to what I had said before, you need certain things to work in your favor to, number one, build up a community, and number two, be convenient. So, you know, you don't want to open up right next to a pawn shop. That is the wrong vibe. That will always be the wrong vibe. Historic areas, you know, historic districts, commercial districts in town, those are usually really good. The spot over here in Cedar Park I was looking at is literally across the street, or it's literally right beside the Austin steam train, like, ticket window and museum, right? And across the street there's a microbrewery with a pizza place in it. It's this kind of, basically, it's a good place for like a date. There's bars, restaurants right around there. There's a neat place next door for stragglers. You know, you go in, you're taking someone out on a date, and you go into the steam train thing. You're like, oh, okay, well, it's leaving in like 30 minutes. What do? Well, you go next door to the bookstore and you look at books. That sounds good, or records, or whatever. Yeah, and that has a completely different vibe than opening up in a strip mall beside, you know, with a Wendy's out in front. Yeah, that's just, I mean, it could work, but that's not the vibe I'm going for. Historic areas, quirky areas, that's it. So, yeah, if we can't find something in Round Rock, in the historic area, I'm not real sure there's another place that would work. I just don't think there is. So, okay. So once I find the place, the next step, like I said, is finding the general contractor. And let me tell you that since moving out here to Texas about over 10 years ago, oh, wow, I've been here for 10 years. Okay. Since moving out here to Texas, I have found that I still do not know any contractors, painters, whatever, that I feel are worth anything. The guys I had work on this house that we're in, they were complete yahoos. I'm trying not to cuss as bad as I want to, but everyone that I've had here at this house working has been an idiot, except for the roof company that I hired. They were pretty good. But, you got to find a general contractor that's at least halfway decent and won't rip you off. And that seems to be a tall order around here. So that's going to be a challenge. And then after that, we've got to start looking around for shelving. Now, for shelving, initially I had spoken with people about buying certain types of shelving. Like, worst case scenario, you could always go to IKEA and get a bunch of Billy bookshelves, which I have in my office here at home. And they're very good bookshelves. However, when you're buying things like shelving for retail, for commercial, you have to assume the absolute worst. You have to assume that someone's going to walk in drunk, grab a hold of a shelf, and hang off of one of the shelves. Will that shelf stay in place, or will it pull everything down? And that means you can't go with a Billy bookcase that's like, fiberboard or press board wrapped in laminate. You've got to actually go and get like solid wood shelves, which IKEA does have, but that's still, $250 more. And we'll get to it in a second. The recession, I was trying to merge those two words together. The recession that is coming, and if you don't think it's coming, you are unaware of the world. We're in the first part of it, and it's not going to get any better. Going into a recession, the last thing you want to do is spend full price for shelving when you can use any extra money that you can get as operating expenses, right? Keep the doors open longer. That kind of twinkle toes our way into the recession that we know is happening and is coming. If you've been living under a rock, and if you're listening to this podcast, you probably haven't been, because all like five people listen to this, maybe. If you've been living under a rock and you don't know anything about the tariffs and what they do, right now, so there's a trickle down, and this is getting on my soapbox. This is actually a problem with how policy happens and people don't react in a timely manner to the policy change. So Donald Trump comes into office and he does what they call flooding the zone, right? Pushes out all these policy things. And like I said, if you're listening to this, you know this, but I need to talk about it and get it out of my head. So he floods the zones with all these policies and everything else. All of these policies, almost all of them are terrible. Almost all of them are absolutely insanely bad. All right. The tariffs, insanely bad, like super insanely bad. The numbers, just the lower numbers are bad. Like 10% is insane. Okay. 10% tariff is insane. Having a 200 and something percent tariff against China, that is beyond insane. That is just dipshittery. That is ridiculous. The deal with the recession or with the tariffs is that the tariffs hit, and so the tariffs just started over the past couple of days. But people have known they were coming, so the importers have tried to get as much stuff as they could, but there's only so much stuff you can order with so much money. And you don't want to buy a bunch of stuff knowing that, and this is the monster. So tariffs hit, there's less goods in the store, or there, you know, all the stuff in the store is way more expensive. But the store owners know that you might not have a job because your job got eliminated in cost cutting from the company. So why would they order more stock that's just going to sit there? They're not going to do that. So orders had gone way down, and, you know, ports like out in Seattle have been completely empty for the past few days, if not weeks. And the deal is that that stuff doesn't hit your home store. That stuff won't hit Texas for like 2 weeks, right? And so it'll hit Texas in about 2 weeks. Well, his hubbubaloo about the tariffs happened like a month before that. And so people, basically, it's people won't necessarily see a direct action. And this has been because things like social media have indoctrinated people so much to have instant access to information. Cause and effect gets lost. You know, back in the 1900s, way back in the 1900s, way back in the 1900s, specifically before things like cable news, when something happened, it took time for it to affect you, just like it does now, but it also took time for the information about it to actually filter down to you, which was positive for the politicians at that time because they knew that, well, if I make this really bad thing, this really bad decision in the middle of the night, let's say make it so that you can't discharge student loans in bankruptcy, then by the time anyone puts it together, Joe Biden is already president. Like, all of a sudden, everyone's going, wait, how did this happen? They, oh, Joe Biden was one of the people that, I'm pretty sure that's true. I don't remember if it is. But yeah, so there was such a disconnect, but now we have instant information. But the flip side of that is that, yeah, we have instant information and people expect instant results. So, you know, people have just been trained wrong. And I mean, we're going to be dealing with it, and we're going to be dealing with the ramifications of that. It's just like when COVID hit, you know, and that doctor, Fauci or whatever his name was, I think either he said it or someone said it about him. They said, you know, if we do our jobs right, then people will sit there and complain that there was no reason to do it, right? It's kind of the same thing with these tariffs and what they do. By the time you realize that you're in the hole, you're already in the hole. There's no way to get out of it. The amount of damage that's been done over the past 100 days, there's just no way to get out of it. We're going to be living through it, which means that when we're talking about picking up shelving for the store, and yes, I'm looping this back around to the store, it sounds terrible, but there may be an opportunity to pick up really good shelving deals from closing stores. You know, I mean, the advantage to opening a store now, and this is insane, but if you think about it, it makes sense. Recessions only last so long. If we go into a Great Depression, another Great Depression, that's a ball of wax. That's a horse of a different color. Yeah, it'll be bad. But that's one of those cases where, well, okay, I owe a bunch of money. I have no way to pay it back. Oh, well, you know. But if we're talking about a recession, recessions simply cannot last more than a few years. They just can't. And it's not like it, and it's got everything to do with how, I'm trying my best way to explain this. It's actually got more to do with policymakers realizing that they will be dealt with in a very murderous way by, you know, a mob if that mob, what was it? It's like nine meals. Like, yeah, the separation of society to anarchy is nine missed meals. Like, by the time you got 3 days of not being able to eat anything, all of a sudden everyone's like willing to do what they have to do, you know. If you expect things to be bad for the next couple of years, and I expect things to be bad for the next couple of years, I really do. I think they're going to be really bad. If you know things are going to be bad for the next couple of years, and when you open up a store or you start a new business, the first couple of years are usually non-profitable. You're very happy to break even. So if you already know that you're going to be having trouble and you're going to have trouble breaking even, and you know that the economy is going to be tanked for the next couple of years, wouldn't you want to time that those two things together? Because when you start to expect to be profitable, everyone else is coming out of the hole too. So if you can manage to survive those 2 years, just like basically the difficulties don't change. The amount of difficulty doesn't change. It's just your approach to it has to change. In a recession, if you open up a store and you go into a recession, you just don't have people that have money, discretionary funds to spend at your store. But if it's a boom town, but you open, you're fighting to get people to notice you. If you open up at the beginning of a recession and you can time everything right, then getting people to notice you is the only thing you should really be focused on. So you're going to have that problem anyway. So once people notice you, they'll start spending their money. And so if the timing works out that it still takes them 2 years to start spending their money on a regular, and you know, you're dealing with people not having money for 2 years, then you'll be one of the first places to go. Does that make sense? I think it makes sense. It made sense in my head, and I'm not going to redo it. So anyhow, what else are we doing? The other thing that I had mentioned before about opening the store is that when we get to this point, we are now at this point, here in this next week, I'm going to have crowdfunding, some way for people to donate. Now, do I think I'll get any donations? No, I don't. I really don't. I mean, we might, but I don't think so. But if we do, it would go directly into the operating fund, which would be sitting there as proof more to the bank that people are ready to spend their money than it would be like something to use. It really depends. Like, if you get everyone on Earth to give you a dollar, you'd have like a ton of money, right? But you're not going to get everybody on Earth to give you a dollar. It's still just one of those things of it's part of the recipe. You do crowdfunding. I do the podcast. We're going to be putting out the zine that I keep going back to the drawing board to work on, mainly because I don't know. I still don't know what I want it to be. I know what I want, but it's real hard to put it together myself. But I'll get it done. Once I get the first issue put together, subsequent issues will be easier. But with the crowdfunding, we're also ramping up our efforts for Bookshop. So if you go to, I've been saying so a lot. I just noticed myself doing that. So I did it again. There we go. All right. Anyhow, see, I try not to say so, and I just said it. So, oh my God, I'm going to hear that every time now. We are selling on Bookshop, and with Instagram, I'm putting out posts. I'm not paying any money for the ads yet. So, oh my God, I'm not paying anything for these posts to be boosted. That's something if you end up doing advertising on Instagram, Facebook, that sort of thing, you can put out posts and then boost them, and it basically turns it into an ad. I'm not doing that yet, because that doesn't seem like a good idea to do yet, particularly because there's no, you know, putting it out there and then spending $100 on it but not making more than $5 is just not really, you know, the math don't math. But I'm still doing those posts and linking to Bookshop so that we can kind of get a jump on that. Because the other side of it are the accounts. So with the vendors, which I have started, and that is the last point in this whole thing for this week, which is, I've got the accounts with the vendors, right? And in order to order goods, I need to basically either give them direct access to the bank through an automated clearinghouse, or I need to give them a credit card. I'm definitely not giving them access to the bank. I mentioned that before. I'll mention again. No. And since I'm not doing that, I have to give them a credit card. And I was planning on applying for a new American Express Blue once I'd gotten through the credit check from the bank. Well, they did a soft credit check, which is fine, and I passed that. But when they do the hard credit check, which they will, I don't want the credit card opening, because the credit card opening does a hard credit check too. So I'm going to have to make room on one of my cards explicitly for this, and just keep track of how much money I'm spending and set up the account for that. Because the other side of doing the bookshop stuff is that I've got the back end, which you can't access yet, but I've got the back end of the website ready to go for starting the store page where you can actually buy online. I mean, we got a bunch of stickers now. I don't know if I mentioned that. Yeah, we got a bunch of stickers now. And we'll have stuff from Alliance and a few other groups. And we'll start selling online, along with the crowdfunding, mainly to get a jump on it, while I'm dealing with trying to find a general contractor after I find the location and get the loan. And I'm not grumpy about it, but man, it's a lot of work and rigmarole for it just doesn't feel like this is the right order. And this is the order they want, but it doesn't feel like the right order. Go and get a letter of intent, but what if I don't get the money? Yeah, that means I'm holding someone else up because the bank decided that I shouldn't get the money. And I'm not saying that they won't. They seem to be good with my credit stuff, but it still doesn't make me feel any better that they didn't just say, yeah, here, have some money. Good to go. And that's that. That's been the week, the 2 weeks. This is turning, like I said before, this is turning into kind of a bi-weekly thing. And I do absolutely intend on doing the special episodes. I'm doing a little bit more research on them, but I feel really confident about what I've got. And, you know, I'll start either the next episode or the episode after that. Also, keep an eye out on Instagram and our YouTube page, because I am planning, I've got a little wearable Insta360 camera that, you know, you could just attach to the front of your shirt. I'm going to be videoing all of the trips this weekend. I'm going to be videoing going out and seeing these places and finding where we're going to be set up and walking everybody through all this. So keep an eye out when we start the crowdfunding. You want to throw a dollar at us? I'm more than happy to take it. And if not, but you need a new book, order it through our search thing on the website, or heck, drop me a line, say, hey, do you have an affiliate link for this, for bookshop? And I'll look and see if they've got it, and if they do, I've got a link for you. But yeah, that is the news so far. So with that being said, I hope all of you keep a lookout for each other, watch your back, stay sharp, stay loud, and stay human. See you next time.